It's Tuesday at 8 p.m. and you're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.
You're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.
Now, in recent years, we've heard a lot about the shortage of chefs. And at present in Ireland, there are 181 apprentices across 9 collaborating providers taking part in the National Commis Chef Apprenticeship. Earlier this year, the National Culinary Skills Competition took place in Killarney in County Kerry. And last week, I spoke to Chef Simon Regan, who is the course instructor in the Kerry ETB, to find out more. Let's have a listen.
Bon appetit.
Yummy.
Grubs up.
Delicious.
Simon, you're very welcome to The Best Possible Taste. Thanks for joining me today. And we're going to talk about the National Commis Chef Apprenticeship Skills Competition that took place in February down in Killarney in County Kerry. And before we find out more about the competition, I want to ask you about the National Commis Chef Apprenticeship that's run by a number of the ETBs, the education training boards throughout Ireland. And even before you tell us that, just tell us all, what is a commis chef? Where do they stand in the kitchen?
A commis chef, well, first, Sharon, thanks for having me on. Much appreciated. I suppose in the structure of the grand scheme of things in a kitchen, traditionally a kitchen would be devised in a brigade system. So in a brigade system, you start off at the very, very top where you'd have an executive chef, and then it filters down like a brigade system in the army, and it filters down through a head chef, a sous chef, then a chef de partie, and then it would demi chef de partie, and then down to a commis chef, and then down to an apprentice. So an apprentice would be the starting point as a career as a chef. So once you do your apprenticeship, then you move into traditionally a commis chef, where they would start taking more responsibility for their work within the kitchen. And traditionally, and it's a shame now, it's kind of gone out of the traditional kitchen setup where you'd have commis year one, year two, year three, and year four. I suppose there's a number of factors around that. But to answer your question, a commis is pretty much the starting point for a career as a chef. And it goes back to the traditional days from Escoffier, where he would have introduced the brigade system into a kitchen, a hierarchy system.
And it has been well documented in the press and on social media that we have a shortage of chefs in Ireland. So an apprenticeship of this nature is really important.
Yeah, as we know, every time we turn on the radio, the television, or the print media now, there's always, I suppose, a news story. And it's always a negative news story. Like the press just seem to love bad news stories, you know. And it is well documented that, yeah, that there is a shortage of staff. And I suppose it stems from COVID as well. I think it's 4 in 10 hospitality workers didn't return to the hospitality sector post COVID. Again, there's a number of factors for that, but I think it is important that. The sector is extremely important. The hospitality sector is extremely important to the Irish economy, obviously. It employs somewhere in the region, I think, of 180,000 people at the moment within the sector. Like businesses, there's a majority of businesses that are busy, but as your question is there, some of them are finding it difficult to attract staff. And I think I suppose the concept of the commis chef apprenticeship, which we went into more detail afterwards, is about growing your own. There may well be employees working within your establishment. It doesn't have to be in the kitchen. They could be in another department of the hotel or catering establishment that may have a keen interest in cookery or developing a career as a chef. So it's really important that, I suppose, there's a conversation had within each establishment about it's about talent management, I think, is really important at the moment, that they take time out to talk to the staff. And it's about retention over recruitment. And maybe highlighting or shining a light on these pathways that are available within the hospitality sector and encouraging the staff to stay and grow and develop with the business. I think it's really, really important. And the commis chef apprenticeship, actually, you know, that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to grow and develop the apprentice in line with their place of work.
And whenever they're at the college doing the training, is there a combination between on-hands, real-life experience, and then the theory behind cookery?
Correct. So the model of the Commis Chef Apprenticeship, like, it follows the earn while you learn model. So it's 2 days a week in college, which is considered off the job training. And then the remainder of the week is on the job training. So it gets the best of both worlds. So us inside an education, we can take a little bit of time to assess their skills, help them grow and develop their practical side of their skills, but also be in a position to provide the theoretical knowledge and background which will help them grow and understand what they're actually doing practically inside in the kitchen as well.
And how important then is it that they have an opportunity to enter competitions and take part in competitions such as the National Commis Chef Apprenticeship Skills Competition?
Like, it is important, because I suppose it depends. A lot of apprentices maybe working in an establishment for 1, 2, 3 years. And like, after a bit of time, I suppose we all get comfortable within our own work environment. And it's always good to push ourselves. And same in college, they know what they're doing in college. They're coming in, they're familiar with the environment, they're familiar with work. But once you put anyone outside of their comfort zone, then I think it's a real, real positive thing just to test themselves. So the competition, whilst it's not necessarily reality, work and college is reality. I think it's really good to enter 1, 2, 3 competitions over your career, especially the start of the career, to kind of get a sense of where you are against your peers or your colleagues across the country. And again, it highlights, I suppose, the level and the standard of chefs that are in the industry at the moment. And it's only positive.
And you yourself, you are an award-winning chef and you have spent a lot of time in industry, out there working in restaurants and hotels in the kitchens, very much at the top of your game. So you have that real life experience that you can bring them to.
And I think that is important. I'm speaking for myself, and listen, the Commis Chef Apprenticeship is delivered by 9 collaborating providers around the country. And just speaking on their behalf, like, each of those instructors has come recently enough from industry at a very, very high level. So I think automatically when we are as a group or individually standing in a kitchen on a Monday morning, you know, we have a very good idea of what went on in industry during the week. So we're able to talk, we're able to liaise, we're able to have open conversations about each of them individually. They're all coming from different types of establishments, 5-star hotels to local cafes, to hospitals, to catering establishments. So we, and me in particular, like, we're able to relate to them. We're able to relate to the stories. And I think we can gain respect quite quickly by that we're on the same page. They can relate to us. And a lot of them would look up to us and possibly want to aspire to us as well, which is really positive. But I think it's really important that we do understand their story.
And just to elaborate then on a couple of the points that you've made, there can be people out there who are really passionate about cooking and would like to have a career in the culinary world, but might not want to work in a hotel kitchen, for example. And you've mentioned hospital. You are an educator yourself. There are lots of different avenues that chefs can go down whenever it comes to employment.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if you look at the hospitality sector now, is so, so diverse. Like, going back maybe 20, 30 years ago, even before my time as training, if you trained in the hospitality sector or as a chef, there was probably only one route you could take, and that was to be a chef, cooking probably 10, 12, 14 hours a day until you were 65. Then you were moved on and somebody else came in to take your role. Now there are so many options. Like, food is pretty much served everywhere. Every forecourt in the country pretty much has a food outlet, and a pretty good standard food outlet as well. There's online, there's food blogging, food photography, food and nutrition, in social media, in influencers, street food options. There is, I said, the four courses, so many options. setting up your own business, setting up a food truck or a horse box that we've seen plenty of kind of come up during COVID. So there's so many options, but you can't go down that road until you have the fundamentals of cookery, or as you can do, but I think you'll plateau very, very early. And what you need is you need the foundation, regardless if you're going, what direction you're going to go in food. 100%, I believe that you need the knowledge and the foundation in order to grow and develop your own business. You know, you could come in DTB, do the 2-year commis chef apprenticeship with the view to staying in hotel kitchens or restaurant kitchens. But then, as I said, some of the modules within the apprenticeship, we touch on culinary entrepreneurship, business practices, food product development. So the idea of this is we're growing these individuals professionally, but we're also highlighting the opportunities that's available for them in the future. It mightn't be for them now, but trust me, down the line, you know, they might develop a food product within college and revisit it in 5 or 10 years' time, but they've done some of the groundwork for it. So I think it opens their eyes to the vast, I suppose, opportunities that are available within the hospitality sector now.
And then in terms of the actual competition, just set the scene for me of what that day in February looked like. What was the format of the competition and what did the competitors have to do?
So I suppose just we decided, I think it was probably about a year and a half ago, we would have, our apprentices and even ourselves as chefs, we would have taken part in many competitions in Ireland and internationally as well. And we just found that a lot of these competitions, yes, the apprentice or the competitor was part of it, but not the main part of it. So we wanted to devise a competition where front and center was the apprentice or was the competitor in the competition. And that's, we came up with the idea that we develop a skills-based competition in Killarney solely for the commis chef apprentices, because it's the apprenticeship was established in 2017, as I said, by Kerry ETB and industry stakeholders. And at the moment, there's 181 apprentices on course throughout the country. So it is strong. We decided that it's strong enough to stand alone as a standalone competition. So not to get caught up in all the hullabaloo of these other national competitions, whilst they're fine, and we have entered them. So what we decided to do inside in the Great Southern in Killarney was to set up a skills competition, live cooking and cold cooking. So we had 5 hot cookery competitions and we had 6 cold display competitions. And one of the decisions we came to was that we wouldn't have any ovens for them to cook in. So it's a skills competition. So the hot ones, there was a fish competition, there was a beef competition, a chicken competition, a dessert competition, and a rice or risotto competition. And we found that, you know, in order really to test them, to push them out of their comfort zone, was that everything was done in front of the public. So the easiest thing to do is to put a piece of fish into the oven and set the timer for 8 minutes and take it out. But there's very little skill to that. So with the chicken, with the beef, and with the fish, it was all pan work or poaching or grilling. So there was a real element of skill to it, and they were marked accordingly. So it was really, I think it was really, really important. And then the cold competitions, we had cold buffet work, we had meat tureens, fish tureens, we had petit fours, we had centerpiece themed cakes about sustainability and spring, and we had macaroon competitions. Again, the theme running through the competition was sustainability and seasonality, that they would have been marked accordingly if they were using produce in or out of season. So it was a real, real showcase. And like, you know, we had 52 competitors competing on the day. And even just, I'm not just saying it was part of the organizing committee, but to walk in there at 8 o'clock on that morning and see there was, I said, 52 plus competitors in there, dressed in their traditional white chef's gear, tall hats, and just the positive vibes and buzz that was kind of coming from the room that day was absolutely amazing. It was such a positive news story.
And when they are applying to take part in the competition, do they know in advance what they're going to cook? Do they get an opportunity to create that dish at home in a safe environment and practice it?
Yeah, so we would have devised the marking criteria here in Kerry ETB, and we would have brought on a couple of other ETBs to devise, I suppose, a fair but challenging marking scheme. Everybody knew before the event what the main element of the dish was. So if we take example, the beef dish, they were given a 6 ounce beef fillet. They had to put up two identical portions. But what they chose to accompany the beef, that was entirely up to them. Again, it was based on their skill set, based on the timing that was allowed, the equipment that was there, and of course on seasonality. So each of the providers or each of the apprentices would have had time inside in college. And also it kind of doubled up with their industry mentors. So each apprentice would have a mentor inside in their place of work. So it kind of opened up a positive conversation between the apprentice and possibly their head chef or sous chef. And they could be practicing that inside in work and inside in college as well. And it generates a kind of a positive bit of competitiveness between all those instructors, between the mentors as well. And on the day, that definitely came through as well. So there was good banter between us all, but there was definitely an edge of competitiveness there between us all. But yeah, to answer your question, they had the opportunity to practice. But you can do that, but it's very different when you go into a new environment. You know, I said they're all probably comfortable practicing in their own environment, but coming down there, there's the chance of stage fright.
Absolutely, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, not everybody likes to be in an environment where they're being watched, or if they're up on stage, or, you know, it can be quite intimidating. And you mentioned there, like, the mentors and the trainers are all rooting for their apprentices. So who had the job of judging?
So what we've done is, obviously, we were conscious, it was based down in Kerry. So we had three independent judges on the day. We had Alan McCabe, who's a very, very experienced judge from up in Dundalk. We had Gert Mays, who was a former member of the panel of chefs of Ireland. He would have traveled the world with the panel of chefs of Ireland. Very, very, very experienced judge. And we also had Mark Doe, who owns a cookery school and is also a part-time instructor as well. So we were conscious that we needed to have experienced judges as well, because it was very, very fast paced. The turnaround between competitions was tight. The judges had a lot of food to taste. So it was important that we chose the right judges, but they were independent and they were marking on what was placed up in front of them.
Yeah, they certainly would have been well fed after 52
well fed on the day, yeah.
Different competitors' dishes. And then in tandem with the competition, you also had panel discussions, because, you know, it's one thing to cook in a kitchen environment, but there's lots of other things that we need to be on top of in the industry. And you have mentioned the sustainability and grow your own. So you had panel discussions around those themes.
Yeah, and I think that was really important, that I suppose when we were trying to devise the concept of this competition, that, you know, that between, as I said, we had the five hot competitions, and between each of those, we had a 20 or 25 minute panel discussion. And we wanted that to be obviously interesting and engaging, because we had hundreds and hundreds of people that were coming through the arena all day long, and it was advertised in advance. So people knew who was speaking, when they were speaking, and what they were speaking about. So each of the individual panel discussions brought a good crowd. And the theme, as I said, was grow your own. Grow your own, again, it was about growing your own, I suppose, produce first and foremost, being sustainable, sourcing local, and sourcing and growing your own where possible. That's not practical for everybody. And then grow your own in terms of grow your own team. That was the theme of it. So it was about growing from within your company. It was about seeing what you have already, as opposed to looking outside your establishment. Possibly there is people within there that are willing to grow and develop with the company. And we had a number of speakers on that would have gone through the program or the apprenticeship previously. and they would have been speaking about their experience on the course and how they may have taken maybe a member of staff from uphouse in a hotel or from the bar or from maybe a kitchen assistant, brought them into the mainstream kitchen and grew them along with the apprenticeship and the business. And it just shows that maybe people that aren't 100% familiar with the apprenticeship, you know, this was kind of really enlightened that it says, listen, it works for this particular hotel and it also works for the smaller restaurant. So they've gone through it. And listen, like there's nothing that's 100% positive. So they said, listen, it definitely works. Maybe there's an area or two that may need to be tweaked. But in general, like, you know, they were talking about how positive it was for them on the course. And I think they I suppose the audience took that away with them and it kind of maybe they were able to think about it. Okay, so maybe we do need to, instead of looking outside our circle, maybe we need to look within our current circle and see if there is people within there that we can grow and just to shine that light on possible pathways that is available for them.
And it's a great network as well. There must have been some serious networking that went on. And even from the apprentice chef perspective, their classmates of today, their work colleagues today, next week, next year, you can go anywhere in the world with those particular skills. And there are people from Ireland in every corner of the globe in the hospitality industry.
Yeah, so like it is a chef and qualifications. And after the 2-year apprenticeship, you know, you get a QQI level 6 advanced certificate in culinary arts. It's a passport to anywhere in the world, you know, but I suppose now, like it's before people were being trained for export, you know, we're training them and they were gone. But now because of the standard of food within Ireland, you know, I know people like to travel and I suppose it is good to travel for cultural experience as well. But the food scene in Ireland is just phenomenal at the moment. So you could do 10 years working in Ireland and you get the best training than, you know, anywhere else in the world. Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. But now it really, really is important. And for those apprentices, 52 apprentices on the day, it was good for them to network as well. You know, where you work and where have you worked? And there was a lot of, you know, we had a formal or a semi-formal lunch for them all. But at the start, they were all inside in their own little colleges or college groups. But by, you know, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, they were all mixing, they were all chatting, they were all kind of comparing and contrasting stories where they work. So networking was, you know, it was really, really kind of evident on the day.
Yeah, and you never know where those networks might lead to in the future in terms of future collaborations. And on a final note then, you collaborated with the stonemasonry apprentices to actually design a lovely trophy.
Yeah, and that was really, really special as well, because as I said at the top of this interview, we wanted the apprentices to be front and center. The easiest thing to do for this was to go out to a shop or a trophy shop and pick up 20 medals and bring them in and hand them out. But, you know, there's nothing personal about that. So inside in Kerry ETB, the stonemasonry apprentices came on board as well. And they took it so serious. And, you know, they were 100% involved in it. They designed the trophies. It was like the traditional kind of chef kiss, like, and the tall chef's hat on, all bespoke in individual pieces. They're one-off, you know, that you will not get these anywhere. So it was really special. Then in fairness, all the apprentices came over on the day and they presented the trophies to the commis chef apprentices as well. So it was really, really nice collaboration and it worked really, really well. It was personal. And as I know I keep going on about it, but the apprentice, whether it was the stonemasonries or the commis chef apprentices, it was their day. And I think that was the idea, the philosophy behind it. And it definitely kind of rang through on the day.
You must tell us then, just before we finish up, did the winner's trophy remain in Kerry or did it end up travelling to a different county?
No, I suppose there was no one overall trophy. We had a winner for each of the categories, and then some of them we had a bronze and a trophy. Kerry were happy with their, I suppose, their outcome on the day. But like that, I suppose we would have liked a few more. But no, we were happy with our quota for the day. And if we go again next year, obviously, we'd like to try to kind of add one or two more trophies to our little collection down here. We're fond of silverware down here.
You absolutely are. Well, listen, great to talk to you, Simon. It sounds like a great apprenticeship, a great competition, and best of luck to Kerry and all the regions in next year's.
So just finally then, Sharon, if anybody wants some additional information about the Commis Chef Apprenticeship, best place to go for information would be www.thecommischefapprenticeship.ie or apprenticeships.ie. Or also, I'd advise them they could ring local on 066-714-9600, and the team there would be able to advise them accordingly. Sharon, thank you very much for your time. I much appreciate it.
You're listening to the best possible taste on West Limerick 102 FM.